On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm speaking to you today from Seattle here on KKNW AM 1150. You may be listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York on WBLQ AM 1230. One of the 35 stations in Australia or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But I tell you, wherever you're listening from today, whether live or in the archives on ChristineUpchurch.com, you're going to be really glad you joined us because I'm very excited about this book. The author of this book is our guest today, and I'm not going to tell you anything more about that until it first, say hello to the man behind the board who does the magic, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
And for my next trick, ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to have you back.
Yes, you get us connected so we can actually hear our guest, which was a little tricky today. And, sure that the listeners, get good quality audio.
That's what we try to perform, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you bring a lot of positive energy to the studio
thanks.
As well.
So. Well, you do too. That's grateful. Why you're sitting in that seat as well. Yeah. It's not just me. It's all of us. It's all of us.
Yeah, it is. And Peggy Snow as well. She's behind the scenes, associate producer. She works hard to find guests such as the one today. And
takes a village, right?
It does take a village, yeah. And Linda Firing and Pat Basile are behind the scenes as well. So I'm grateful to everybody. And I'm grateful you joined us here today. We're going to be talking to author Sam Bennett. She is going to be talking about how small changes that we can easily make can make a big difference in our lives. You know, if you're like me, like a perfectionist or somebody who sometimes feels overwhelmed, maybe you're a procrastinator, maybe you're an overachiever. I wouldn't know anything about that. do you get stuck sometimes? Do you want to amp up your intuition and inner knowingness in order to move towards success, break through that fear, figure out how to develop that project in such a way that you have success, that you have ease within yourself because you've been showing up fully, how to build your tribe to support you on your life's journey, and how little changes can lead to big joy? Sam Bennett, she's the author of, it's a wonderful book, entitled Start Right Where You Are, How Little Changes Can Make a Big Difference. She created the Organized Artist Company to help creative people get unstuck and achieve their goals. She's a writer, an actor, a teacher, and a creativity productivity specialist. She's counseled thousands of artists and entrepreneurs on their way to success, and she's here today. I'd like to welcome Sam Bennett. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Christine. Thanks so much for having me. Hi, everybody.
You know, we have listeners all over the world, and it's funny. I like to sort of see on my website in the archives where people come from. And at this point, this week, we're up to 88 different countries. People from 88 different countries are accessing this. So this is definitely a worldwide show. People are interested in changing their lives, in healing, in moving forward, in alignment with their authentic selves. And so people like you with information like this are supporting people all over the place. And so I'm really curious about how you went from, I think you said you were depressed, exhausted, broke, fed up with life, fed up with yourself, and yet here you are now, not only having a successful business and as a successful author, but you are helping others to do the same. How did that transition occur?
Very slowly. And very quickly at the same time. I would love to tell you that there was some big lightning bolt moment that I could just deliver to everybody and we could just transform our lives instantaneously. And the lightning bolt was, there was one lightning bolt, and it was this. I realized that I had to stop waiting to be happy in the future. I was working hard. I was doing good stuff, but I wasn't making enough money. I was dissatisfied. I was disappointed. And that feeling of like, I'm doing everything right. Why am I not doing better?
Right. Uh-huh.
Why
sure.
is this not working better?
Yeah.
I'm following my bliss, I say my prayers, I do good stuff, and then, but somehow it's not quite coming together. And that belief that, like, well, if I get this gig, or if I make this amount of money, or if I hit this goal weight, or, you know, and sometimes those things would happen, and sometimes they wouldn't, but I realized it actually didn't really matter. I still wasn't very happy.
Interesting.
So I realized I had to move the locus of, maybe not happiness, happy is a little bit of an overrated word, I think, but but joy, you know, presence, peacefulness, into this moment right here. Mm-hmm. So I just developed all these tiny little tricks and techniques and mindset things and breathing things to keep that moment-to-moment thing going. Mm-hmm. And my life completely transformed.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting what you said there. If you're not happy, and you're saying if you weren't happy in that moment with life, and you're saying I'll be happy if or when, and you said you still wouldn't be happy. Can you expand on that a little bit more?
Well, what makes us unhappy is not an outside condition.
Mm.
It's not a circumstance. We feel like it is.
Right.
It looks like it is. And we want to point our finger at it and go, well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Uh-huh. That's the problem. He's the
yes.
problem.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the problem. The economy is the problem. Uh-huh. This is the problem. But that's never the problem. Problem is you. And the minute you take 100% responsibility, the minute I took 100% responsibility for me being the problem,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a shift. I mean, all of a sudden you go, okay, so maybe something unfortunate is happening, or maybe something I didn't choose is happening,
mm-hmm.
but I still get to be 100% in control of how I respond.
Right.
And of my value system.
Right.
And of my well-being.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you talk about having made small steps and ultimately over time, you know, creating a successful life. And I'm really curious because there are a lot of what I call self-help books out there. And some of them can be very, very illuminating. And you read them, you get something, and it's like, oh, yeah, now I get this. And then a week after you've put the book down back on the bookshelf or handed it over to a friend to read, you're not making any changes. Nothing has changed except maybe a little bit of awareness, and that's it. How is your book different?
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of awareness. I mean, there's a lot of us who read self-help books or watch webinars or go to events or whatever, and just it's basically entertainment,
mm-hmm.
which is totally fine.
Right.
You are under no obligation to actually change your life. Like, it's fine.
but you signed on the dotted line.
You're doing fine with your life. And all that criticism, you're like, well, you go to all these events, you know, how come you're not perfect yet?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, you're a lifelong student. You're interested in the continuing, you know, elimination of things. That's fine. If you, however, you really do want to change, then you're going to have to move from reading about something, intellectually understanding something, uh-huh. to actually putting into practice in your life.
Right.
Because it's like reading about swimming. You know, you could read about swimming forever, but once you get in the pool, all bets are off.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
It's a whole other game once you're in the pool.
Yeah.
You got to
get
in the pool.
So
I have kind of a fun example for you, actually.
Sure, that'd be great.
I was actually doing an interview the other day with a woman who had read the book, and she was, and same thing, she's reading, and she got to one of the exercises and was like, oh, that's interesting. You know, I should try that sometime,
mm-hmm.
like we all do, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Someday. I'll get to that.
Let's get to
that's
the next chapter, idea. Yes, instead of doing that exercise.
I understand why that's a good idea. So that's sort of the same as doing it.
Uh-huh. Right.
So she went into work that day and had a terrible day at work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time for me to quit this job.
Yeah.
Terrible. At home, was really upset and thought, oh, wait, I could do that exercise that I read in Sam's book the other day.
Uh-huh.
And the exercise is make some 5-minute art about it, right? So when you're upset about something, just make some art about it. Draw a picture, make a song, do a dance, whatever.
Uh-huh.
So she got out a piece of paper and made a little drawing of herself, like kneeling in the center, and everyone around her, like throwing rocks at her.
Oh, wow.
Because that's how it felt. It worked. Like, here's a project. Here's the feedback. Why haven't you done this? Here's this. All this. And she felt so attacked. So first of all, just helpful to see it in front of her. Like, wow. I'm really upset. Like, clearly, I'm really upset. And she's the second drawing of same her, still in that kneeling position, but with a shield around her.
Uh-huh.
And she said this invisible shield was God's love. And she said it calmed her right down.
Uh-huh.
She went into work the next day with a totally different attitude because she knew that whatever happened, she was protected by the love of God.
Right, right. And so did things shift in her day?
They did. They did. And that's exactly what this book is for. It's these tiny little shifts. I mean, who knows? But like a doodle, you know, something you draw on a legal pad can change your whole career trajectory.
Right. Well, it seems
you can
to
imagine
me that
showing up feeling upset and attacked and, you know, how good is that going to go?
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that creatively expressing something is probably more beneficial than having your rational mind trying to process it.
Well, and it's kind of the curse of smart people. You know, I'm definitely guilty of this, and I know a lot of the people I know and work with are too, where we get that like, oh, I know this feeling is anger. I recognize this feeling as anger. Many people experience anger.
And there's nothing wrong with it. Yes.
I'm not mad. I'm a little frustrated, but I'm not mad. Right. You know?
Right.
And
right.
we're just trying to skim right across the surface of it.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing. Feelings just want to be felt.
Say that again.
Feelings just want to be felt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And once a feeling has been felt, it can get promoted and get a better job.
Yes, I love that. You know, we have to go to a quick break, but when we return here, we're going to hear some of these tips and about how you're helping to transform lives a little bit at a time. More with Sam Bennett here in just a few moments.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, 35 stations in Australia, and of course, Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Sam, in your book, you offer, I forget how many it is, is it like 60 different little like habit changes, little exercises to help us move forward. Do you want to share with our listeners just a few of those and how life-changing they can be?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the whole structure of the book, I mean, the chapters, as you said, you know, they're like two pages. They're designed to be very quick, these tiny little 1 degree shifts that can have a huge impact on your whole day.
Mm-hmm.
One is just this little breathing strategy that I learned a million years ago.
Uh-huh.
Should we just do it right now?
Yes, please. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah. I learned it a long time ago, and you've reminded me in the book to start doing it again. And it's fabulous.
Yeah.
So please do.
It's fabulous. It's so easy. So we're just going to inhale for 4, hold for 7, exhale for 8. And I'll count us through it. We'll just do it one time.
Okay.
So you can just inhale, 2, 3, 4, hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And I'm buzzing and feel greater clarity now.
Thank you for doing that with me. Yeah,
yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
And that's in some ways really the heart of the whole thing. Like, you can take that control over this moment right now and completely change how you feel physically, how you feel emotionally, your mindset, your creativity level, like the whole, you can shake the whole thing up with one breath.
Wow.
Imagine if you did it 10 times.
Yeah. And I'm sure that there are physiological and neurological changes based on that breathing alone. But what are some of the effects that you've seen just applying that simple technique?
You know, anything that you can do, you know, the truth is relaxing. So anytime you can get a little closer to relaxation, you know, if I'm freaking out in the Trader Joe's parking lot or something isn't going the way I want, or, you know, to take that breath and recenter into this moment and remember that I'm not in charge of everything, that just because things aren't going the way I thought they should go does not mean they're not going well. That just because something hasn't happened in the time frame that I think it should happen, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, Sam, you talk a lot about feeling overwhelmed and overwrought is another term you use in a different chapter. If people are so overwhelmed, then why is it they should do something to move forward with in yet another way?
Overwhelmed, I don't know about you, Christine, but I hear this word so much now and so much more than ever before. I don't remember hearing this word so much 5 years ago. But I think overwhelm happens when you can't tell what's important. You know, when everything's kind of coming at you with equal intensity.
Right.
And you can't prioritize. Like the email pings, the phone pings, and this has to happen, and this has to happen, and this has to happen. And you're just in this sea of stuff.
Right.
And you got to remember that inability to distinguish between one thing and another is about a half step away from insanity, right?
That's
what insane people do, is they can't tell the difference between a glass of water and a monster.
Yeah, right.
It's all coming to get me.
Right.
So this is, you know, so partly taking that second to breathe and to go, okay, wait, what's really important here? And let's focus on that. And then a little selective neglect around some of the other stuff.
Yeah. You know, Sam, there was a time when I was feeling totally overwhelmed and I kept making lists. I like to make lists sometimes. And for some reason, I prefer to do it on paper than, say, on my phone or on my computer, unless it's a list I need to maintain long term, because it feels really good to physically check something off. And I was finding that I had this long list and I kept choosing to check things off and choosing to do things on the list that were not the most important for my personal well-being or moving certain things forward. It was just like, I got to get some stuff done. And it feels good to get some stuff done, But it does need to be the right things, doesn't it?
It does. And especially for us little dew bunnies and accomplishment junkies and apple polishers. You know?
Right, right.
We love to check things off the list.
Yeah.
And that feeling of busy is a very gratifying feeling.
Uh-huh.
And you may notice we do. We get everything done for everybody else all day long.
Uh-huh.
But the stuff that matters most to us, the things that we know would really make the biggest difference for us personally, somehow not happening. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And I really want to encourage people to turn that on its head.
Yeah.
And I know we all have that feeling of like, oh, but it's selfish. If I took that time for myself, that would be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, let's correct the vocabulary. Because in fact, it's the opposite of selfish.
In what way?
Really selfish. Well, here's the thing. What's really selfish is you walking around, me walking around, exhausted,
mm-hmm.
stressed out, overwhelmed, underfed, and with no sense of humor.
Right.
That's selfish because then the rest of us have to deal with you when you're like that.
Yes.
Right? The opposite of selfish is you showing up or me showing up calm, rested,
mm-hmm.
meditated, cuddled, right. creatively satisfied.
Yeah.
Like then you're really able to be there, right? You can actually look at people and see them and hear them when they're talking.
Right.
Of good ideas, you don't take them so personally, you know. This is the best version of you. We love you when you're like this, uh-huh, right?
Right.
And can you imagine if everybody was like this?
Oh my goodness. It'd be a different world, wouldn't it?
It'd be a whole different world. And from what? 10 minutes of breathing in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Going for a swim, working on your novel, whatever it is that lights you up.
Right.
Do it first.
Yeah.
Do it first.
So if somebody's feeling overwhelmed, what's your number one piece of advice for them?
Get the cell phone out of the bedroom.
Oh.
You can tell I don't feel too strongly about it.
Yeah. No, tell us how you really feel.
Right? Get the cell phone out of the bedroom. Give yourself back the moment of waking up.
Uh-huh.
That moment before you're anybody. You know, when you're not even yet someone's mom or someone's boss or uh-huh. someone's partner. Like, you haven't even opened your eyes yet. You're just you. And that moment, like, you're still sort of half in dream time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fertile time, especially for the creative person, for the sensitive person, for the overworked person.
Right.
Like, you get great ideas just in those couple of minutes. And also, it's just, there's a real pleasure in waking up and stretching and rolling mm-hmm. over
yeah.
and a little cuddle or a little doze and just allow yourself to come into your day with some kind of serenity. This thing of picking up your phone before your eyes are even open, like, well, no wonder you're overwhelmed.
Right, right.
And I'm telling you, there's nothing happening out there that cannot wait for a couple of minutes while you wake up like a civilized person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know in your book you're talking about, well, if you need the cell phone available in case somebody's trying to contact you on it, like in case of emergency, you said, okay, put it across the room.
Yeah, leave it by the door. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you to not be available in the event of an emergency. I just don't want you to treat every moment you wake up as though it's an emergency.
Right.
You know?
Right. Wow. So let's say that, you know, we have some sort of project that we want to move forward and we're either taking action that's not effective or we're not taking action. What little steps can we take in order to sort of create an environment for success?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing to remember is that there isn't a right way.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a right way to find a new job. There isn't a right way to write a book. There isn't a right way to find a partner, whatever it is you're trying to do. There is no right way to do it. There's just your way to do it.
Okay.
So to start amping up your own intuition
mm-hmm.
and start trusting your intuition and you get into what I call the sparkly breadcrumb stage.
Ooh, I love that phrase. Yes.
You just sort of take a couple of steps and see, oh, there's a sparkly breadcrumb and you uh-huh. kind of go over here and,
uh-huh.
and start to just experiment, see what happens. You know, sometimes, you know, to think, oh, there's a little lecture, or oh, there's an event, or oh, mm-hmm. here's a person.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes we take a little step, and it's like the universe comes rushing at us. I hear this all the time.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, damn, I did one little thing, and the next thing I knew, I'm in line at the coffee shop next to this person, and turns out they book speakers, and now I'm, you know, like crazy. Other times you take a few steps and, you know, it's a lot of knees and elbows. It doesn't, there's miscommunication. It doesn't quite work. And then you can go, okay, not the right time for this.
Mm-hmm.
Not never, but not the right time right now. Great. Let's find the next sparkly breadcrumb.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I love your perception, perspective on how we can perceive the world from like the center. Can you share with our listeners your analogy?
Yeah. I think we hear the word self-centered and feel criticized by it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's usually meant as criticism. You're self-centered.
Right.
But I always think, like, well, what else is in your center?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, I am centered in myself. Myself is in my center.
Uh-huh.
And if you imagine that center, like your heart would, like the middle of you, and imagine that it's all kind of lit up, and then maybe imagine that there's sort of beams coming out of you, like the bits on a dandelion puff,
right?
So there's all these lines of energy coming out of you. And then imagine, and those certain lines sort of connect you with the potentiality of all things.
Yes.
Right? Anything you could do or be or have, those lines are connecting you with all that.
Right.
And everybody else has lines too. In fact, all living things have lines. Even the minerals and trees have lines, right? So we're all this big web of energy that's all interconnected. I think of it as the net, this big net of energy. And so you can see how if you shift just a little bit, your lines shift.
Right.
Right? Or your connection to somebody else shifts. And what at one time maybe seemed impossible, with a very small change, can put you dead in the center of it. Right?
Yeah.
And it's also, to me, it reminds me just how connected we all are.
Right. And I love that concept of just moving a little bit one direction or another, you know, just shifting a bit. And your book is filled with wonderful ways to do that. But we have to go to another quick break. More with Sam Bennett here in a few moments.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit LynnBrownEvent.com. That's LynnBrownEvent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections, with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath to signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is. Sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Epchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today to the author of Get It Done and also the author of her latest book, Start Right Where You Are, How Little Changes Can Make a Big Difference, Sam Bennett. You know, Sam, I know that this hour is already flying by, and I want to make sure that our listeners know how to connect with you. Can you share with our listeners what your website is?
Probably the easiest one is startrightwhereyouare.com.
Okay.
Startrightwhereyouare.com. And there's a ton of free stuff on there.
Yeah. Including meditations and some wonderful tidbits. And, you know, one of the things I really like about this book is when you are somebody like me who can feel overwhelmed by life itself. I mean, I'm dealing with lots of details these days in a variety of ways, both in my personal life, my professional life. I can pick up a book like this and open to chapter 30, The Intuition Killers, or chapter 45, Five Uggs and Three Ahs, and read just a few pages and feel like there's something that I can apply to shift things for myself, to move forward in positive ways. And so I really appreciate that.
Good. That feels great. I'd love to hear that.
You know, you do have some interesting advice for getting rid of clutter. Can you share with our listeners about that?
Yeah, I think part of the thing with clutter is to recognize that it's the residue of old decisions, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we hate to feel wrong.
Uh-huh.
We love to be right, and we hate to be wrong.
Yes.
So, you know, you spend $300 on the yellow coat that never quite fit.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to say, I was wrong to buy that yellow coat. So every time we look at it, we go, oh, there's that yellow coat. Well, maybe I'll wear it sometime. Maybe, too expensive to give away. Okay. We're ignoring an idea that economists try to teach us regular people, but it's really hard for us to get.
What's that?
Which is sunk cost.
Okay.
Sunk cost.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. You're not getting the $300 back.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
That ship has sailed. The money is spent. It's done. And there were probably other things that you bought that were a great bargain that you've worn into the ground. Right? So
right.
Give yourself a break. Not everyone's a winner. Let the coat go.
Mm-hmm.
Let the coat go out into the world where it can find somebody that's the perfect size, who looks great in yellow. Like, let the coat fulfill its destiny as a coat, and give yourself back not only the closet space, but the mental space around the coat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Because every time you look at that coat and go,
yes.
Like, it's a little energy drain. It's a little, like, womp womp. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, it's taken me quite a bit of practice, but I'm getting better and better at that. A couple of years ago, I moved from one house to another, and I was amazed at what was in not only my main master bedroom closet, but in another closet as well. And it's like filled bag after bag. And initially it was kind of like, oh, this feels really hard. And after a while, it's kind of like, oh, this feels so good to get rid of it. Oh, let's get rid of this. And occasionally there'll be something and I'll say, oh, what did I do with that, you know, shirt or whatever it was? And it's like, oh, oops, I got rid of it. But more often than not, I never regret letting go of something that's no longer serving me.
No, you have the right to have the things in your life that are appropriate to where you are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the stuff that has great memories, take a picture of it.
Yeah.
You know, cut off a ribbon from it. Like, your memories aren't going anywhere. Those are yours. Those are precious. Those are part of you. You don't need to hang on to the thing.
Right.
To keep the memory.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be a hard one to learn in some ways. And yet it's almost like I feel like as we let go more and more, it creates more energetic opening to receive more. And it might be receiving more joy or more flow or more items that actually fit better, you know. And yet it can be a little tough to get to that point. It can,
but I see this all the time. I mean, we have to remember, right? The Chinese say that health is flow.
Right.
Right? Health is flow. So we want the air to flow in and out of our lungs. We want money to flow in and out of our lives. Uh-huh. We want healthful flow. And anytime you've got clutter, it's stuck. It's stuck energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so to release that flow, let those things open up. And I don't know about you, Christine, but I've had this happen a million times where clients will tell me, okay, I just cleared out the garage and somebody sent me a check for $5,000 that I wasn't expecting. Or,
yes.
You know, I finally, you know, got rid of the storage unit and I just met my perfect someone.
Uh-huh.
Like, are these things related? Is it causal? I have no idea,
right.
But I think you're right. I think the minute we liberate that stuck energy, there's more flow, more things can come to you. You mm-hmm. see more opportunities, you start to think, feel things differently, but it does. You know, it's a moment in which we're being invited to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at that right. stuff and we go, oh, but I loved it. Oh, I wanted to keep it. Oh, it was uh-huh. so expensive. Oh, it was a present. Uh-huh. Oh, it was this. Like, you know what? Yes. And, you know, but you're not a child
yeah.
now.
Right.
You know, you can have those lovely feelings about that thing and still be a grown up and get rid of the thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it seems like it's attachment of one of two ways. It's either... we have attachment because we've loved it and it's no longer serving us, or we have this kind of like self-judgment sort of it, you know, like we're attached to that perception of ourselves of, you know, being perfect and not spending $300 on a yellow coat that doesn't fit. And so we have to kind of release that, you know, attachment to our image of ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. I remember a client who had this huge, huge corner of her house filled with all this film equipment
uh-huh.
and like from the 80s.
Like, oh my goodness.
They don't make movies with that kind of stuff anymore.
They don't.
Like, sweetheart, you can make a movie with your iPhone. Like,
yeah.
Really, you don't need all this stuff. And of course, she hadn't been involved in filmmaking for years. But for her, she felt like getting rid of it was giving up her identity as a filmmaker.
Right.
And I'm like, no, your identity as a filmmaker, your creative spirit is inside of you. It is not inside this old equipment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like take your attachment to the equipment as a signal from your desire of mm-hmm. how much you actually would love to still do this.
Right.
And then start doing it. Make a little 1 minute movie every day, you know, get in it, you know, but the stuff is not what makes you a creative person.
Mm-hmm.
You, your own body and soul make you a creative person.
Mm-hmm. So how does creativity figure into moving forward in various ways in our lives?
Mm. Well, first of all, let me just say that I think everyone is a creative genius.
Okay, cool.
Right?
I'm glad to hear that about myself, yes.
Yes, you are. Congratulations, you're a creative genius. You know, not everyone is artistic in the same way that not everyone is musical.
Right.
But everyone's a creative genius. And your creative genius lies in your problem-solving ability. So it's the things that you do so effortlessly that everybody else goes, what? How did
right,
you do that?
Right,
right. Right. And so in terms of moving forward in your life, part of it is recognizing where is my creative genius? What mm-hmm. are the things that I do easily, effortlessly, joyfully? And maybe that's, you know, just knowing the right thing to say to someone when they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's throwing great gatherings, really being able to bring people together. Or it's a gift for story, or it's a gift for color, or it's a gift for, you know, being with children, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it is, you know, wherever it is, you sort of have the magic touch.
Uh-huh.
There's $1 million waiting for you in that magic touch. Now that kind of sounded dirty.
Oh, you're right. I didn't get it until you said that. Okay, now my mind is in the gutter. Yes.
I'm terribly sorry. Let me see if I can reframe.
Now I've got to get my head on straight to ask the next question. So once we sort of step into our awareness of being a creative genius, where do we go from there in terms of moving forward to take advantage of it?
Yeah. So here's a question that I find really helpful. How can I make this moment more me? How can I make this moment more me? How can I make this conversation more me? How can I make this email more me? How can I make this outfit, this meal, this dinner, this interaction? Just how could I just be 1% more present and more authentic in this very moment? And what happens is you end up more plugged in to your life. You and people start to see you more and see the dimensions of you more, and you'll see opportunities. I mean, again, it's one of those little 1 degree shifts, you know, but you've had that experience at, like, you know, at the airline counter or at the grocery store where you just decide to show up as a person a little bit more.
Oh, sure.
You know, and you have a little interaction with somebody and all of a sudden they're a person too. And now what was just an errand is a real connection of souls.
Right. Right. So what about those of us who are recovering perfectionists?
I wouldn't know anything about it myself.
That's what all perfectionists say. Yes.
Yeah. You know, there was a concept I put forth in the first book in Get It Done that I found really helpful, which is this. Get a C. Get a C. Quit trying to get an A+ in everything. This isn't school. You're not getting graded.
Right.
You know, you don't get bonus points for it being hard.
Right.
Get it. And C, remember that C is the grade you get for showing up and doing the work. Show up, do the work. Show up, do the work. Show up, do the work. And here's why it works, because I can feel all the perfectionists like getting palpitations.
You know? Yeah, I'm thinking, well, what am I willing to get C's in? Do I have to get C's in everything?
Yeah, I would give it a try, because here's why. First of all, your version of a C is pretty much everybody else's version of an A.
Okay.
You may have noticed this already. Stuff that you're like, oh, that's not very good. And everybody else is going, oh, you did that? That was you? You made that? You know. And second of all, you can also trust your good judgment. I mean, if you get it out there and it really does need to be made better, then you will make it better. You know, 2.0, director's cut. Like, it's fine.
Right.
You can make it better, but you can't make it better until it exists.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We have to go to another quick break, but more with Sam Bennett here just in a few moments. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Brand consultant Jen Morgan is here with Radically Distinct Radio to help you take control of your future and maximize your brand's power to produce results. Whether you're an individual trying to reinvent yourself and launch a new venture, or you're an executive trying to reposition your company to modernize your sales and marketing programs, Jen Morgan and the Rad Method empower you to play to your strengths and show up in the world as your most powerful brand. To learn more, go to jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, Morgan.com, or call 206-972-5366.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhyay and Steve Tanijo on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Sam, I love so many of the concepts in your book, and these little chapters are easy to understand. I love the way you write as well, and they're also easy to apply. But there's some that are just like a slightly unusual concept, and one of them is Chapter 35, Your Slightly Future Self. Why would we want to sort of chat with our slightly future self?
Thank you for the compliments, by the way. Thank you. I appreciate that. This idea of tuning in, just to take a moment right now to sort of imagine you in the not very distant future, and you're doing really pretty great.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you've really made some good progress, or you've really, you know, done something you wanted or achieved something you wanted, or
Right. You're
just feeling the way you want to feel. And like, just tune into the vision of that person.
Uh-huh.
And what is that person doing? How are they behaving? What have they been thinking? Like, patterning yourself off this version of the future that you want.
Uh-huh.
Because there isn't a right way.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a right way to lose weight or write a book or be a parent or succeed at work. There isn't a right way. There's just your way.
Right.
So to sort of tune into your imagination and your intuition and go like, well, if I were to achieve this or that or the other thing, like, what would that look like?
Uh-huh.
And who would I be being?
Hmm.
Because again, our power is in the present moment.
Right.
So you can't lose 30 pounds in the present moment,
uh-huh.
not without lopping something off.
Sure.
Right. But you can tune into that future you that weighs whatever it is you care to weigh and start behaving the way that person is behaving.
Mm-hmm.
What is that person eating? What is that person's attitudes towards themselves? What is that person doing? And then start doing that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes so much sense. And one of the things, you know, at one point in my life, I was in the Akashic Records, which is, you know, mm-hmm. far more woo-woo than doing something as grounded as this. But I was asking about what I needed to know about writing my book, right?
Mm.
And what has basically shown was my future self, who was signing books, and I could feel the difference between my future self and my current self. And what was so fascinating about that is feeling into it, I could see that the person in the future who was signing the books didn't have the fear of getting things wrong and getting it out there widely publicized, and had sort of stepped into that. And I could feel the difference between that. And so I knew emotionally what I needed to step into in order to get to that point of, you know, writing and publishing a book. So I think that future self,
beautiful.
The information from the future self can be so incredibly powerful.
Yeah, and to use almost the creative tension in between you and that future self to sort of pull you forward.
Yeah.
You know, and a little bit act as if, you know,
uh-huh.
like,
right.
well, what, okay, so I feel super insecure about getting my work out there. And believe me, everybody does. I've never been anybody who was like, yay, I can't wait to be center stage. Like, you know. But to go, okay, I, you know, clearly if there's a version of me that can do it, like maybe I could just be a little bit more that way right now.
Uh-huh.
And if I were a little bit more less afraid right now, what would I do? Right. How could I do more me, right? If I were a little bit more me
right
now, what would that look like? What would I do? Who would I introduce myself to? What comment would I leave on this Facebook page? Like, whatever it is. Start to take those little teeny tiny steps, and it's amazing the results you get.
Wow. So, you know, one of the concepts that you've referred to several times during the show, as well as in your book, is, you know, moving forward, being more me. Do you find that people are surprised by what they turn into when they're actually saying, I'm going to be more me today?
I think they're mostly delighted. I usually get a lot of giggles. I'm like, really? More me? Really? But yeah. And this, the more you can lean into the truth of who you are, because, you know, God don't make no junk.
Right, exactly.
You know, you're not a mistake. The way you are, as sensitive as you are, as smart as you are, as weird as you are, like, you were especially designed to be that way.
Right.
And when... And I just sort of flashed on this with I don't think it's in the book, and it really should be, because this is a good idea. This thing with the future self, when you are modeling yourself on this vision you have of you in the future, when you are busy making each moment more me, then you can be assured that your future is going to be something that satisfies you.
Yes.
You're going to have the success that's right for you.
Right. And I speak from experience. I've worked my way into success in an area, and it's like, oh, darn, I'm not happy here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's really right back where we started, right? Waiting to be happy in the future means you may end up with something that's not, you know, like I said, I sometimes got those gigs. I sometimes made that money. I sometimes hit that goal weight, and it didn't, and it's like, oh, this isn't actually doing it for me.
Right.
This isn't as good as I thought it was going to be. And so, you know, when you are connected and joyful in the present moment, you create a string of connected and joyful moments that will take you to a connected and joyful future.
Yeah. Oh, that makes perfect sense to me too, from a sort of an energy, you know, perspective.
Mm.
And, you know, I love your concept of we have to start in the present moment.
That's all we've got.
It is. So, you know, we don't have enough time to go through the 60 some odd different approaches you've got, but if somebody picks up your book and reads it, what do you hope they walk away with?
Just a little, what they call perceived self-efficacy, which is really hope. It's belief that you can do it.
Okay.
It's belief that you can make a difference in your own life, that you can make a difference in the world, that you can make a difference to your family and friends and the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can. It's why you're here.
Right. And that makes perfect sense, too. And as we sort of step into more of who we are, you know, more me, then I think it has this really positive ripple effect.
Yeah, because the more you are, the less, you know, the more you're willing to allow other people to be them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that's huge. It's funny because I think that the acceptance of others can really help them transform as well.
It's the only thing that does.
Yeah.
I mean, you may notice that when you're sitting there being all misjudge a lot, like, people don't respond super well. That's not the kind of thing that makes people jump up and go, oh, I'll be different for you.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the blame and shame game has never worked for me.
No, nagging, complaining, finger wagging.
Yes.
It's just not a very effective strategy.
Right, right.
Love and acceptance, humor and art, those things work.
So again, can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you, Sam?
Yeah, startrightwhereyouare.com.
Mm-hmm. And do you have some events that you want to talk about, or, you know, do you have things that people can access online?
There are. There's a ton of free stuff there, actually. There's my Procrastination Domination Starter Kit is there, which is two of my very best little tools. Super easy to use. The first one that has to do with figuring out which of your 137 great ideas you should be moving forward on right now.
Yeah. I need that, yes.
Yeah, we all do, the prioritization thing. And the other is having to do with dealing with compliments and criticism, whether they're coming from outside of your head or inside of your head.
Yes.
You need to be able to manage those compliments and criticisms. So there's that's a free tool. You just opt in. And wonderful. Then you're on my email list. You can write me back and tell me about your projects, and we'll be best friends and pen pals. That'll be great.
Okay. You know, Sam, I've really enjoyed this hour, and I'm really enjoying your book. It's Start Right Where You Are, How Little Changes Can Make a Big Difference. Thanks, Sam, for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Christine. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again sometime soon.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.